From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel with the story of a man who is part of Cambodia's slow reemergence from the repressive rule of the Khmer Rouge. An estimated 1.5 million people died under the Khmer Rouge from 1975 through 1979. Ever since then, the country has struggled to recover economically, politically, and culturally. The man we're going to meet is part of the cultural resurgence. His name is Setisak Kun, and as Rachel Louise Snyder tells us, he has a love of and a gift for music.
It's Saturday afternoon in a tiny neighborhood on the outskirts of Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Motorcycles and tuk-tuks skirt mud puddles left from the monsoon rains. Vendors push wooden carts with noodles and fresh fruit. Leave the main road, go through the arms market where holsters and ammunition are sold. Walk through alleys and dirt tracks interconnected like lace. Until you hear Setisak Kun. He shares a small concrete house with 9 other family members. His father is watching soccer sitting on the edge of a bare mattress. Another relative is napping in a hammock strung up in the sparsely furnished living room. Many people in Cambodia can sing beautifully, but he's the only one who can do this. Setisak is the country's only Western-trained opera singer, a tenor.
The people, they would ask me what I do, and I answer, they would still ask, what is that?
As a child, Setisak had little access to music.
At that time when I born, right, 1970, of course the sound is like the sound of the bombs, not the sound of the music.
The Khmer Rouge took power in 1975 when Setisak was 5, and ruled for 4 years. Money, education, and all freedoms were abolished. That meant most music, too. But Setisak remembers being fascinated by sound, so he built his own kind of music.
I did a kite, right? A kite with the sound inside. When you fly it, the sound on the top. It's like flying, floating sound, you know? And I fly it at nighttime, I hear the sound, and I love it.
After the Khmer Rouge, Setisak's father, a trumpeter and music theorist, became the director of Phnom Penh's Fine Arts School. Setisak studied piano and composition there and eventually won a scholarship to Russia.
Study in the Tchaikovsky College of Music in Moscow. I live beside the opera house in Russia and next to Kremlin, you know, like the Red Square. And like from early in the morning you hear music and until late at night. Music, music, music.
In the beginning, he sang like this. And then gradually. But with the collapse of the Soviet Union, most music scholarships were cut. Setisak's tuition and rent were still paid for, but he had to cover his other expenses. Some of the sacrifices were tough.
If you survive in Pol Pot time, why cannot you survive in Russia? In Pol Pot time, nothing to eat. At least in Russia, you have potatoes. 3 times a day, potatoes, you know. Bacon, you know, like boil, you know, like mashed. So I hate potatoes.
He returned to Cambodia after 8 years in Russia. Then he studied in Berkeley, California, but after the 9/11 attacks, he couldn't get his visa renewed.
I realized I review my life. I will be there in Cambodia, it's war. I went there, and then war again. I go to the state, war again.
For a while, he studied with Carlo Bergonzi, the world-famous tenor in Italy. But it cost thousands of dollars a month, and he couldn't afford to stay long.
I don't get permanent, you know, training like other singers because of lack of funding. So I practice like afternoon, always practicing my voice. So trying to train, you know, myself, and because I still have a dream to sing in the opera stage.
Singing Othello would be a dream come true, he says. But so would starting his own national opera school in Cambodia, if he can find funding.
I want the new generation, you know, like, to have more opportunity to reach out, you know, outside world, you know, so that I can teach more students and follow my dream at the same time.
Setisak performed all over Europe and in the States, but unless he puts on his own concerts, which he sometimes does, there isn't much opportunity in Cambodia. There is the annual 4th of July party at the American Embassy, where he performs the national anthem for a little money on the side. Still, he practices twice a day inside his tiled bedroom, where a piano is crammed in one corner and a mattress sits upright against the wall. Daily training gives him focus, hope for the future. but it also means something larger and less well-defined.
I'm a Buddhist, you know, so it's like a meditation. Like you're trying to find yourself, it's like you're trying to find your voice. It's the same. It's like endless discovery.
For NPR News, I'm Rachel Louise Snyder in Cambodia.
Oh, pas jaler.